The Drive is brought to you on demand by Assignar Construction Operations Software. Visit keepbuilding.com for a free demonstration and see how much your business can save.
It's a Bud Light Football Friday. Bud Light, official beer sponsor of the Denver Broncos. Leading off with the big story of the day. Denver Sports Station 104.3 The Fan presents The Drive with Tyler Palumbus and T-Mac.
Brady under center. Brown in motion. Snap, spin. He rolls to the far side. Brady throws on the run. It's caught by the backpedaling Gronkowski. Helmet high in the thicket of defenders. Brady with his second touchdown pass. That good for 2 yards, and the Buccaneers have recaptured the lead. Hurts got him a gun, four wide. He looks to the left, he looks to the right, some low snap. He picks it up off the ground, then he backpedals and throws in the end zone. It's caught inside the pylon. Amari Cooper with the shoulder-high grab. Touchdown, Dallas. 47-yard line of Dallas. Shotgun snap to Brady. First and 10. Long pass. Over the shoulder catch. Down the far sideline. Hauled in at the goal line. Touchdown, Antonio Brown. Zeros on the clock. Fireworks begin. The bench is empty. This game is over, and Tom Brady has added to his litany of success, his legacy, with another come-from-behind win.
Trails only Drew Brees and Peyton Manning for come-from-behind wins. And I did think, Tyler, as I was watching that amazing game, do we have somebody in Teddy Bridgewater who could lead the Broncos to a come-from-behind victory? In fact, Kevin and Richie, early homework assignment. How many does he have? Seriously, how many come-from-behind wins does Teddy Bridgewater have?
Yeah, great question. I don't know. I know that we're not going to want Teddy Bridgewater throwing the ball 50 times per game. That's not going to be the game plan for the Broncos, but it was fun to watch last night. Those two guys were just going at it, man. So great to have football back. So stinking awesome to have football back. I mean, are you kidding me? And then to start out the season with a game like that, I could not have been more entertained. All I know, I need to eat some more avocado. Tom Brady's never going to die. Bezos is paying people $1 million per year to figure out how to live forever. He just needs to join the Tampa Bay or the TB12 cult, whatever's going on there. I'm in. Forget it. Buy me. Give me your book. Let me do it. I'm in.
Yeah, somebody sent me a old article about why Tom Brady's diet is BS.
And no, like, it's not. It's scientific. It's like factual. You will live like forever.
And so I read the article, and there's like weird things. Like he doesn't eat strawberries because he only eats berries and fruit that he views aid in recovery. Uh-huh. And I guess whatever's in strawberries doesn't. But if you read what he does for a diet, it's a great diet. It makes complete and total sense.
Yeah, I don't know what the diet is. I just know that I need that. We all need that. Give it to Teddy Bridgewater. Give it to our entire football team.
Dude, you know what? I have the TB12 book. You know, my parents are still... Well, you must have your in-laws are big Patriots fans, right?
They are, yeah. A little bit. I mean, I don't think like your parents, but...
No,
yeah.
My parents are over-the-moon Patriots fans, and they love Tommy, and, you know, so they... It's a false accusation, one of many with me, but that I'm a Patriots fan.
You have the tattoo. It's kind of weird.
I don't have a Patriots tattoo.
Yeah, you got three tattoos. You've got the Red Sox, you've got a Drew Locke tattoo, and you've got a Bill Belichick tattoo.
Bill Belichick tattoo. Yeah, that's what I got. Dollar bill.
Mm-hmm.
I learned that from Cam Newton's dad. Dollar bill. We'll get into Cam Newton and Cam Newton's dad later, but... But yeah, so anyways, they just sent me the TB12 book. I should seriously bring it in because there's got to be something in there that like would tell us all how to be, you know, better human beings, I guess, because it's ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean,
what
tell
you
me
do.
How many pages it is, and then I'll think about if I want to read it or
not.
A
lot of pictures.
All right, yeah, okay, good. Yeah. Now I'm interested. Yeah. That was awesome, man. No, I mean, Teddy Bridgewater is not going to go out there and lead an offensive firework display like what we were watching. You know, I don't think that's a good game plan for the Cowboys moving forward, not having Ezekiel Elliott involved. I don't know what they're paying him all that money for, but I've been a huge fan of Dak Prescott for a long time. That is an elite quarterback when he's healthy. Tom Brady looked great. You got to wonder though. I mean, can our defense be good enough? Because no, I don't expect our offense to ever look like that. Can our defense be good enough to contain an offense like that in order to win football games?
So we have the number. Thank you, Kevin. How many years has Teddy Bridgewater played in the NFL?
Six. This is seventh, I believe.
Okay.
Check my math. All check right. my math.
Well, if it's six, let's keep that number.
We're going into seven.
He has, count them, six come from behind victories.
Okay. Okay. So we're probably going to need at least six of those this year if we're going to make it into the playoffs. Right.
I mean, did you have any doubts when Brady got the ball back with a minute 20 or whatever they were going to get in field goal range?
Of course not.
Did you have any doubts about it?
Of course not.
And then, of course, the referees don't have any doubts about it, so they're going to make sure they don't call any OPI, you know? Let's keep it real.
I actually like that they didn't call that.
I do, too. I do, too.
And I don't want the referees calling a dumb penalty like that at the end of the game.
I agree.
Could it technically have been pass interference? Sure. I guess if we're going by the letter of the law. But, man, when it comes down to the end of the game, I'm such a fan of letting players win. Letting players just go out there and do their deal. If it's egregious, throw your flag. But otherwise, don't involve yourself at the end of the game.
Yeah, I think that is a classic matchup, cornerback, receiver. They play all sorts of games all night long. They're always tugging, pushing, pulling at each other.
It was like just a little extension. It wasn't even that big of a deal.
Don't get caught up in a cornerback. Be smarter than that. Feel it's coming. Know it's better. And I learned that from watching the Aqib Talib podcast with Patrick Surtain.
There you go.
And that was cool, too, because Talib is great on, I mean, the dude is a smart guy and a brilliant cornerback. And just with the details that he was telling Patrick Surtain, it's obvious that, hey, these are the games that are played. So you don't want to get pushed off. You don't want to get moved around on a back shoulder throw at the end of the game. Be better as a cornerback.
There you go. I like it.
Play football.
I like it.
Because those are the games.
It needs to be egregious. I mean, anybody that's complaining about it, you don't want referees deciding the outcome of a game. That's the worst. You don't want that. So, you know, as a player, know that it gets a little bit more physical right there at the end of the game.
Yeah.
And you could probably be more physical, too. Like that's just the way it's going to be.
That's the way it's got to be. Do something else.
Yeah.
Play the game. That's what they let them do, and it was just fantastic. And the way they talked about it after the game, too, was awesome when they said, hey, nobody really lost this game. Tom Brady and they won it. And that's exactly how it felt.
Got to give the Cowboys credit, man. They looked whole lot better than I thought they were going to.
Yeah, a lot better, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
Lot better.
Oh, here we go. Here comes the blame game already, right?
Well, I was hesitant about it.
Here comes the blame game on the five-unit bet, right?
I was hesitant.
You wanted to go 10 units. I talked you down to five. We're just trying to have responsible betting behavior here, right?
We got a bankroll
to manage.
Just to be fair, who was the most hesitant about the spread last night?
Well, but then it didn't make sense because even though you were hesitant, you wanted to like go all in on this game.
Because I'm an idiot.
Right. Right.
I don't know how to gamble. Well.
you are egregiously bad.
Once I'm in, I'm like, let's go.
And then you made the world's dumbest bet with me on Twitter.
Talk about that?
Because some listener popped in some advice that we should make it an over-under bet on the amount of three and outs that the Broncos will have in New York this weekend. And you put it out there, three. You said three. Immediately I said bet good. Like the Broncos will have more than three and outs. You know, now we gotta figure out the technicalities because we don't have a hook in there.
Put a hook in.
Fine. I will. And I'll be generous because I don't know why I shouldn't do that. It should be 2.5, but whatever. I'll give you 3.5.
There you go.
I do feel that confident.
Done.
Yeah, you can't set it there, Richie. That's not what it was. You can't just set it there unless we tell you to set it there.
Well, no, it has to be set there because D-Mac said there wouldn't be more than three, which means he has to take the under, which means it has to be 3.5.
There you go.
You're right, but it was not clarified. Now it is.
I thought it was well assumed.
What are you talking about? Of course we're going to have 4-3 and outs in this game.
No way, man.
Absolutely.
No, well, I mean, here we go. We're betting on it.
How many fourth quarter comebacks Teddy Bridgewater has?
Six. Dude, but his first game
of the year, jitters, good Giants defense.
Dude, it's chill Teddy. It's Teddy checkdown. He's going to get you a couple first downs. The problem is in the red zone.
Yeah, yeah.
The problem is coming from behind. It's 3rd and 8.
Bad bet. It's okay. Broncos are going to win.
Wow, you think it's a bad bet too? How many possessions do you think the Broncos are going to have offensively?
13-14?
No way. That might be another one. But I'm not making a bet on that.
You're probably right. 13-14 is actually, that's a lot.
I spot 11.
I think you usually have between 3 and 4. Yeah, no, they'll have 13-14.
Okay.
I thought I'm basing my little prediction on 11. 11 possessions. So what, I need 8 first downs?
Yeah.
On the first drive?
That's right.
8 times?
Yeah, that's
right. I'm going to get that.
First game of the year, an offense that is not exactly a powerhouse going up against a very good Giants defense. Oh, you're definitely losing this bet.
I'm
all in on the Broncos winning.
Yeah, I mean, this really has nothing to do with the Broncos winning or losing, to be honest with you.
How about Richie just throwing a hook in there when we didn't agree to the hook yet?
And the hook was assumed. You knew what I meant. You knew the nature of the bet.
It had to be that way.
Wait, the way it was, it could have been a tie.
A push?
It could have been the way it was previously.
Why would we even bother with such silly stuff?
I'm happy to give you the hook.
Right, because we're men around here. We don't wear... That's right.
Happy. Terrible bet.
By the way, I'm out there in Broncoland today. Fun day at Broncoland. It was an interesting day. Usually Fridays are pretty boring, but today was actually, there were some quirky things today. We'll get to that in a second. But I get a text from my guy Seneca, because I just give my number out. But I know Seneca's been texting me for years.
Wallace?
Don't know his last name. I just put Seneca in.
Okay.
But hey, Seneca, I did save your name though, dude. By the way, most people, I just don't even save their names. I have no idea who they are. Why? 719-229-8152.
Why do you do that?
Because I hear from cool dudes like Seneca every now and then.
That is just weird behavior. Like, it's oddly desperate behavior.
I'm a desperate fella. I'll take my friends at a distance when I can find them.
All right, what did Seneca say?
Seneca goes 137. I'm coming back from Broncoland. Brandon just called you and Tyler out on the air. Says you guys steal their bits, and they want to challenge you both to NFL Pick'em games. Steal the bits.
All right. First off. I don't know what bits they're talking about us stealing. If they have complained a couple times about a coffee bet, like they invented a coffee bet. Maybe they made a coffee bet, but we made that our show because I get a free coffee every single day because you lose every single day.
I'm drinking water today. So are you.
Right.
Yeah.
We didn't bet.
I know, there's nothing on the line here tonight. Well, because we all lost collectively as a bunch of losers on the game last night.
Here's the problem, though. I know how you do pick 'em, and you're, like, really bad at it. And so
I've won pick 'em before here at the station.
I do have to accept the bet.
I'm really bad at it.
It's going to be fun. It's going to be a fun little challenge, show on show. Bet good. Well, I don't know exactly what the bet is, but
hold on, Richie.
You got to allow me to give you some input in your pick 'em now.
Dude. If you need advice, come and find the mighty midget over here, and I'll let you know what's going on.
You don't even know your password. You panic.
I'm in.
You get logged in like 30 seconds before, and you just start clicking buttons.
Dude, not only am I in, I uploaded my own photo. How'd you do on that?
Yeah, I did it way before you.
All right. What's the clarification there, Richie?
They definitely accused you guys on multiple fronts of trying to emulate them or mimic them or be like them they think that the coffee bets were you trying to be like them because they make bets between the two of them all the time, whether it's on NFL games or
right.
predictions or things like that. So they did that.
Right, because Stokely and I have never bet on anything in our entire life. I'm sure he's shocked that I would make a wager. I'm sure that he's shocked by that.
Apparently. And this is also probably a good time since you brought up Stokely to tell you that he has formally issued you, Tyler, a cease and desist on the use of the phrase dum-dum. Because you're infringing on his copyrighted trademark phrase.
Now he's lying because Stokely and I, we do have some verbiage that goes back. Nitwit is one of them, and dum-dum is one of them, okay? These are some words that have been exchanged over many of cards that have been played many a year, specifically in Seattle. And if we truly are going to give a little bit of credit on those two phrases right there, those two came from Breno Giacomani. That's the dude that really created those two phrases. So, Stokely, dum-dum. We were in that together. We created that group together. Stop acting like you don't remember this stuff, Nitwit.
Screw you, Tyler.
Okay.
Yeah, no cease and desist.
Nice to be like on the just watching it instead of being in it sometimes. I'm not going to lie. Is there anything else?
I mean, goodness.
So there's language in the coffee bets. I mean, do they want to bring up the war rooms?
I do need to change your betting behavior, though. Like, when we're gambling...
Why are you throwing it back at me?
The negative energy that you bring when we're gambling is just not acceptable.
I'm not a cooler.
Like when we're in it together and you're texting us in the first quarter about how the spread's not looking good, like, hey, relax, buddy. We got a long ways to go here.
Gotcha. Yeah, I was surprised by... it was the turnover. The turnover by, it was Godwin that fumbled like there at the four. That was a great defensive play, but. All right. So what, they want some action, Richie? Is that right? Like, I'm sure we can go show against these dum-dums and nitwits.
Yeah, I think that's exactly what they want.
Yeah.
All right. Let's go. What's the action? What are we doing?
I don't know. Like I said, I just processed the paperwork on Tyler's cease and desist, so I haven't drawn up like a formal agreement.
Do you need like any sort of response other than I ripped it up and tore it into pieces, threw it in the trash? Like, is he cool with that?
I guess we'll find out.
To me, listen, whatever side action we have behind the scenes, fine. But I think if we're doing something show on show, there's got to be a point of humiliation for whatever's happening.
Okay, I like that.
You know, so if you want to throw out a suggestion on the text line, fine. And we'll see if they're up for the challenge. But generally, that's what works best.
I like it.
So it's a
totally down for that.
It's a combo meal.
Embarrassment bets. Fantastic.
Okay. All right, let's go. I'm afraid of the Zoakley show?
No, I'm just afraid of your picks. Like, I just need you to put a little bit more effort in than you usually do.
You mean just coming up with it the last second as we walk out the door at 6:58? On a Friday night, it's not good enough for you?
That's right. Like, right. I need you to actually think this thing through. Like, just run it past me. Just like, hey, what, Tyler, what do you think of these picks?
You know, it's, yeah, like, I'm going to do that. We've played some crazy games with Pick'em over the years. Because sometimes there's been a lot riding on Pick'em over the years, depending on what it is. But now that we got a little action going with the Zoakley show, some picks you can massage right up until the last second. Depending on what's what. That's what's great about Fan Football Pick'em, brought to you by King Supers.
Right.
Is you can change your picks right up until a couple minutes before the ball's kicked on any particular game.
It's beautiful.
So can do it from anywhere.
A lot of games to be played here.
Do it on your computer, do it on your phone, do it whenever. And it's just straight up, by the way. Which I actually think is a little, but it's just straight up. There's no spreads involved with these.
Correct.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, that's it makes it a little bit easier, right? So when you make foolish decisions, like, I just want you to run it past me.
I'm not running it past you. You'll be looking in. Listen, I'll be helping you on this.
Okay.
Trust me.
Right.
Trust me. D-Mac and Tyler win. Losers have to wear Columbus jerseys every day for a week.
I don't want them. Like, I definitely don't want Stokely wearing a Columbus jersey. Like, it just... Putting my name on his back, that's not the kind of representation that I'm looking for the Columbus name.
Bet the ape NFT. The Zoakley show is your personal nemesis. The coffee mug incident and Stoke is Columbus. Teammates on multiple teams.
Telling you.
What's Mark's phrase that pays for this weekend's game? Actually, I do not know that, but we will have, I hope, knock on wood.
Dum-dum.
Mark at 3:45.
Let's get him to say dum-dum. Yeah, I think that should be the phrase to pay. Yeah.
Do we know? Did Mike and Mark figure out a phrase that pays? I don't. Usually they didn't? Oh, really? Okay. Well, Mark coming on or not coming on? We'll see. We'll see. Okay. But not objecting to coming on because our little fun back and forth, right? That's nothing. Yes. As I suspected, it would be nothing. It's officially nothing. All right. Here's what was quirky out at Dove Valley today. They did practice inside. So it's 90 something degrees. I mean, it's a ridiculous, beautiful day. They did practice inside. So they let us, the media scum, go over there. It was actually kind of comical. When it was time to watch, they didn't let us inside. They opened up the big garage doors. Like,
and we weren't allowed to step on the turf.
Right. Like, is that like right? So you had to watch through the garage doors?
Well, they raised the garage doors.
I know, but you didn't actually get to enter into the indoor facility?
Correct.
Wow.
So we sat out there, the doors come open like a movie screen, like a curtain comes open. And it's, all right, it's done. Comes back down.
Okay.
It was comical. It was just kind of goofy. But, you know, we could feel what was going on in there. It was nice.
What was going on?
Well, it was nice and cool.
Yeah.
It wasn't hot. It was, you know, kind of hot and sweaty outside. But it was nice and cool.
Well, they are playing on turf this weekend.
They are. And I found out, Jeff Legwald said, and our guy Andrew Mason confirmed, that it's the same company that did the turf for the Giants and MetLife.
Okay.
So theoretically, it's the...
I would imagine there's only one or two of them that have done, like, the entirety of the NFL. But,
right. Well...
All right. That's fine. I got no issues going inside. Honestly, even if you want to go inside because it's too hot outside, like, people are like, oh, you babies, it's too cold.
Yeah, what do you think of that?
It's too
hot. What do you think of that?
No, I think, like, let's go get good work in.
Right.
Like, if we've got the indoor facility and you could go in there and get better work, go inside. If it's 12 degrees, go inside. You're going to have a better practice. I got no issue with that.
I don't either. I think you got this $30 million facility. There's a lot of reasons it makes sense. Go use it. It was pointed out to me, though, it was on an inside practice a year ago, right leading up to the first game of the year, that Vaughn had his injury. I had kind of forgotten about the very specifics of it, but we had a freak snowstorm. How about that for a difference?
Don't you remember just a year ago yesterday, we had snow on the ground.
Yep, yeah, that's why they were inside a year ago.
Yeah. Do you remember how deflating that was when we got that news about Vaughn?
Oh, my God.
Because he was having a tremendous preseason.
Yeah.
He looked like an animal. He had the Michael Jordan revenge tour going on.
Yeah.
Right? He was inspired by the Jordan documentary, and body looked fantastic. He was just killing people out there.
Yeah.
And then we just find out, like, day before game, 2 days before the game, Vaughn's out. Done for the year. So deflating.
Yeah. Then Tom McMahon spoke. Our special teams coach, who we all wonder, like, how's this dude still have? Well, anyways, don't want to be too negative.
You can say it.
But he did say, Do you actually have it? Oh, you got it? All right. I guess we got a second here. I got to play this for you real quick. It's always a hoot listening to Tom McMahon talk about special teams. And he had, where is it? Right there. Okay, thank you. He had this, he's talking about who's going to catch, you know, who's going to catch the punts, the kickoffs, and you know, that sort of stuff. And he says,
have you seen enough of KJ Hamler to put him back there as a returner?
Yeah, I think so.
All right. So if you didn't hear that, did you see enough from KJ Hamler to put him back as a returner? Especially because we're watching CeeDee Lamb return punts and catch punts for the Cowboys, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So this is a good question. All right. Here we go.
You know, KJ, Bryce. Spence as a punt returner. You know, we got some other good guys at kick returner. So you may see some surprises, to be honest with you, this weekend.
What about the dude that you're carrying on your roster for that entire purpose? You know, honestly, I'm all for using KJ Hamler. That would be fantastic.
Yeah.
That's what I would do. But you carry Deontay Spencer for the sole reason of handling that job. So you know who I'd be bummed out for? If KJ Hamler is returning punts, I'd be bummed out for Trinity Benson, because that dude deserves a spot on this team, but there wasn't a spot because we were carrying Deontay Spencer as a return specialist.
Did you catch, though? He said there's going to be maybe in this department
kick returner. So you may see some surprises, to be honest with you, this weekend.
What, like we're not an utter failure on special teams? would that be the surprise? I'll take that surprise.
What surprises could there possibly be?
We're not just abysmally bad.
We'll dig into it later, but...
Give me another big word.
Ubiquitous.
Oh, crushed it, I think.
Mm-hmm. We had some fun stuff from last night. We'll figure out what the hell Tom McMahon's talking about with surprises, and... Then, yeah, we'll try to nail down whatever the show bet is. I'll help you. Don't worry. The games. Like, I knew 9 was too much. Like, that's the type of advice I could be more assertive with.
Sorry, 9?
9 was too much. 9 last night. 9. Mm-hmm. 9 was too much.
Yeah, short-term memory loss. I forgot about that one. Yeah.
We're down 5 units.
That's only 5. I mean, long season.
Water cooler's next.
Small unit.
Hey guys, Tyler Palumbis here to tell you about my new friends at Assignar. Colorado contractors get paid faster and save big time money with Assignar managing their construction operations. From instant crew and equipment scheduling to digital time tracking and forms, contractors using Assignar are averaging $30,000 per year in savings. Collect data from the field to make informed decisions from the office with Assignar platform and mobile app. Go to keepbuilding.com to request your free demonstration of Assignar and see how much your business can save.
It's time to take a trip to the water cooler.
Is this good for the company?
We need to talk about your TPS reports.
Did you see the memo about this?
We find it's always better to fire people on a Friday.
If you could just go ahead and make sure you do that from now on, that would be great.
Here's Tyler and D-Mac.
What would you say you do here?
Always such a good question. All right. Boy, we're still on this. Oh, but Mark Schlereth will join us in about 15 minutes from Joyeasy. Hoboken, maybe specifically. I saw some tweet. Good morning, Hoboken.
There you go.
John Clayton later, Mike Kliss later, all that stuff later. We'll get to the Cam Newton stuff, which I can't wait to talk about that. I found that absolutely fascinating. On the text line on a No Offense Friday, hey, D-Mac, what round was Dak drafted in again? He was like the last pick of the fourth round. And we can go through that story if you want. I mean, he missed a flight to Denver. It's a tough one, man. You schedule a flight for a prospect and they miss the flight. That's a rough one to get over.
Well,
you know, you're into him.
You can get over that if he's a top 10 pick. Like if he's a guy that everybody universally agrees upon, he's a top 10 selection.
Right,
okay. If he misses a flight, you're like, all right, well, not a great start, but we still see the talent is there. But nobody had Dak Prescott in that type of range. So I don't blame the Broncos at all. Hey, if Dak Prescott missed the flight to come out here and visit and that's your job interview, he doesn't show up. I don't blame him at all for taking him off the board because he was a fourth round type of talent.
Yeah, that's a rough one for me to get over too. That is a pretty significant
red flag. Can't blame him for that. I mean, that's a big deal.
I mean, if you're calling me out, like saying what round was Dak drafted in, okay, so it is your strategy, just to be clear, Jackster, to look for your future quarterback of the future as late as the fourth round. Keep hope alive on that one. I mean, are you suggesting that? Because if you are, that's cool. It just doesn't work that often.
No, but you know, the one area I would disagree with you on is that you got to keep your eyes open. And you get, and even if you've got, say, a first rounder on your team and you drafted him last year, 2 years ago, if you draft somebody in the fourth round and they come in training camp and they're just better, forget the commitment to the first rounder.
Hey.
Forget the dictums. Forget the theories. Forget all that. Like, play the best football player. That's what happened with Russell Wilson and Matt Flynn. Like, Matt Flynn had just signed. It wasn't a ridiculous deal with the Seahawks, but it was a 2-year deal that was worth quite a bit of money.
Yep.
They drafted Russell Wilson in the fourth round, right? I think.
Third round.
Okay. Got him in the third round, and then he comes in and just plays better. Like, when does that ever happen? A third rounder from day one as the starter? Well, when you've got an open mind.
I'll never forget the draft process. I was banging the table. This is way before the Glenn and Trubisky doctrine. It was just obvious with Tim Tebow as the starting quarterback for the Broncos, Russell Wilson made so much sense, and you could probably get him later on. That was the vibe. I was pounding the table. To draft Russell Wilson. But then you acquired Peyton Manning, which who in the world would object to that? And then Russell Wilson just doesn't seem to make sense as a backup to Peyton Manning. And actually, Brock Osweiler kind of did. And we had no idea at the time, like, what Peyton Manning's health was going to be, Tyler. That they were smart. The Broncos were smart to take a quarterback. You know, you could have made an argument that year to take a quarterback in the first round if you wanted to, but I had no issues whatsoever with them taking Brock Osweiler at that spot rather than Russell Wilson, except that I always thought Russell Wilson was going to be great. Those guys come along every once in every blue moon, and you know what? Good for Dak Prescott. He has proved a lot of people wrong. He is getting paid well. His injury, that seems to be, in the past, I got that wrong. There you go. I didn't bet anything on it, but I got that wrong.
You did say his career was over.
I thought it was going to be shaky.
Are you sure we didn't bet on that?
We definitely
did. That was such a big issue for us. I feel like we definitely bet on that.
I'm happy to see him play well. It was great to see him play well. And
check the ledger just to make sure. Check the ledger.
But he was great, and I hope for nothing but success for him. He seems like a great dude. That is what's cool about Hard Knocks. You really do get an insight on some of these guys' personalities, at least it seems like.
Yeah, you get to know them a little bit. You know, I didn't know what Dak Prescott was going to look like. I've been a huge fan of Dak. I've always believed he's one of the elite quarterbacks in the NFL, and I do put him in the elite category. He hasn't always had the production that's matched up with it, or in the wins and losses, but that dude is such a great blend of good mobility, not insane mobility, good mobility, great pocket presence, knows how to extend a play, play from off schedule, but more importantly, 95% of the time, he plays on schedule. Mm. I love Dak Prescott.
Funny or not funny, player, by the way, always awesome to see Ryan Jensen repping CSU Pueblo. That is always cool. Never get tired of that. That was awesome to see. And here is Antonio Brown, funny or not funny?
Antonio Brown, Boomin University.
Funny or not funny, Antonio Brown from Boomin University.
I mean, D-Mac, I just don't think anything that Antonio Brown does is funny at this point in my life. But if it was somebody besides Antonio that did it, I would say funny.
He went to Central Michigan University, by the way.
Yeah, I got it. I got it.
Antonio Brown, Boomin University.
All right. Then this game is, what were they going to say? The referee's hot mic.
Oh, my gosh.
Here we go.
It was on. Well, let's just say, cut that mic.
He cut it off at the last moment.
I'll play it one more time. He went to whisper. He went to whisper something, and his mic was hot. What was he going to say?
Nothing good, that's for sure. Let's just say he didn't say like he was doing. He said he was The last word was right?
What was the next word going to be?
I mean, what comes after I think I know what everybody's first assumption would be after that. After It's not a good word. It's not a word that we could say. Wow. What was he saying?
What was he saying?
It makes you wonder, like, what's going on in the thought process when they throw those flags. Because he wasn't describing what he did wrong. He wasn't describing a holding penalty. He was describing, well, a baby, okay? That's what he was describing.
A baby.
Right?
Okay.
He was being a baby.
Because to say some words, you'd have to say an.
Right.
Word starts with a vowel.
That's right.
You know.
I mean, what are the options here? Other than the baby word, what are the other options?
I guess it can't be what I thought initially because it would make more sense if we said an and then followed with another A word. I don't know, baby. I mean, jerk. But it's a word he didn't want to be heard.
Did he cut his own mic off?
He did. I think he caught. The funny part is, like, whispering, like, hey, that's that. But
the timing of that is just unbelievable that he was actually able to cut that off.
Yeah, what was he saying?
Dude, there were a few moments in that game that were just hilarious. I mean, that one was funny. I mean, the interpretations are endless of what that could have been.
Right.
I thought it was hilarious when Brady got the call in the fourth quarter.
Oh, yeah.
Byron Leftwich.
Yeah, never mind, Coach.
He looked at the wristband, and he just starts shaking his head. Nope, not doing that one. Uh-uh, no, sir. Bad play call. And he just calls whatever he wants. And then they zoom in on Byron on the sideline, and you could tell he was just like, okay, whatever you want.
Great stuff. Mark Schlereth on the call for Fox. That is amazing. What insight has Mark picked up as he's in Hoboken of all places? We'll check in with Stink next.
It's a Bud Light Football Friday. Bud Light, official beer sponsor of the Denver Broncos. Denver Sports Station 104.3 The Fan presents The Drive with Tyler Columbus and D-Mac.
Mark Schlereth has feuds with just about everybody, myself included, and he always wins them. I mean, easily, hands down. It's not even worth going into battle with. But I am curious, as we bring Mark onto the broadcast, what is your current relationship with Giants fans these days, Mark Schlereth? How's that going?
You know what? It's good. It's fine on my end. Hey, G-Mac, it doesn't affect
me. Do they know you're doing the game this weekend?
Oh, yeah. They hate it, too. They absolutely hate it. Oh, how biased is this guy going to be? He's calling his former team. He hates the Giants. You know, the whole kit and caboodle when it comes to the Giants in general. And listen, man, it's not my fault you guys have stunk for, gosh, since 2011, last time you guys made the playoffs. And, you know, they're tied with the Jets right now for the least amount of wins in the last 4 years. You think it's been bad with the Broncos for 4 years?
Wow.
18 total wins in the last 4 years. I mean, they have been awful, just awful. So, and listen, they're struggling with some injuries. They're struggling with some things on the offensive side of the ball right now. Good. That's good for the Denver Broncos. You know, we always, it's funny because even goes back to when I was playing, you know, like, coaches would always say, we want them at full strength. We want to see. Now, baloney. I want them hurt. I want them injured. I want them to suck. I want them to have the flu. I don't want any extra baggage or any extra challenge. So they're struggling on offense a little bit, trying to figure it out. They've got some guys that are limited. So we'll see exactly what happens on Sunday.
Well, I know one thing. You will be a complete adult, totally mature in your responses on Twitter to any haters. I know that there'll be no nonsense coming out of you.
Correct.
Right?
That is correct. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. 100%.
Hey, I'm curious. I love the fact that you're on this game. I'm so curious about what goes on in these production meetings. You get a chance to talk to these coaches. So I guess I'll leave it a little bit open-ended. What's been some of the interesting nuggets that you've gotten so far?
Well, you know, I've gotten a lot of feedback on, you know, and it's, I think a lot of it now that I've been over there is subterfuge. I don't know.
Excuse me?
That's a great word, subterfuge.
Subterfuge. I don't know that, like, I was thinking that Barkley was going to be very limited going into today.
Mm-hmm.
I saw him move on the field. He looks like he looks the part. Now, you know, he's in a rotational deal, and I don't know about the turf, and I know they have a game Thursday night, you know, against Washington, a divisional opponent. I thought this morning all those factors might be very limiting toward Barkley. I just, like, I don't have a good sense. They're very secretive about what the plan is for him. So I really, there's part of me just watching him move today that I was like, oh, he's playing. But I don't know that. I don't know that to be fact. So I don't really know. But, you know, really interesting. Joe Judge is a really interesting guy when you talk to him about kind of what his expectations are. And, you know, just trying to be simple, trying to execute, trying to, you know, not have any assignment, alignment mistakes, and just trying to be really good at tackling. And he boiled it down to this, like, hey, Denver's a very talented team. You know, and it's the team that makes the least amount of mistakes. It's the team that, you know, that executes in situations the best, that's going to win this football team or going to win this football game. I think the other guy that I just am very intrigued by is talking to Logan Ryan, longtime player in this league, plays safety now. And just the intelligence, the versatility of this defense. And I will tell you, and I know you probably looked at them a lot on film, Tyler.
Mm-hmm.
They are one of the most complex back ends because they have guys where Jabril Peppers plays nickel, he plays free, he plays strong, he plays outside linebacker, he'll even play inside linebacker sometimes in dime. So, like, this is a guy that plays five positions. You got Logan Ryan will play nickel, he'll play free, he'll play strong. You've got a bunch of guys that have a ton of versatility, and as an offense, and Tyler will back me up on this, I like to know what my rule is. I want to know who's lined up where, who we have to block. And when you have guys that can play multiple positions, oftentimes it messes with you as an offense of how we're going to designate this. Who are we picking up? Who's playing what position? And those things can get confusing pre-snap a little bit. So they do a really good job with that. This matchup is really, two offenses that have struggled over the years,
mm-hmm.
and two defenses that I think are legit top 10 type defenses.
Yeah, I'm having a hard time getting a beat on the game. And I don't know what conversations you've had with the Broncos, Mark. That's always an interesting relationship for you. So, well, maybe I should just start there. What conversations, if any, have you had with the Broncos, Lena?
We meet with the Broncos tomorrow.
Okay.
So I haven't talked to the Broncos as of yet.
What are you most concerned? Like, what will you ask them about? What will you be focused on with them?
Well, I'll be focused on with Pat Shurmur, you know, offensively. What is the identity of running game? What do you guys like to attack? I always want to ask people what they think they can attack, where they think they can attack, you know, and just kind of get a feel for how they feel about the opponent, who they're matching up against. I can tell you just talking to Patrick Graham, the defensive coordinator of the Giants, and talking to Joe Judge, the head coach, a lot of respect for the Broncos, a lot of respect for, you know, what they did in the preseason, and the way they have, you know, the way they've handled the preseason, the way they have played, collectively as a team, and how they've been aggressive. So, there's a lot of respect for what they're doing right now. And, obviously, does that translate on Sundays? You know, I think the other thing that was really interesting is you look at this city, right? And this city and the kind of tomorrow is, you know, the 20th year reunion or whatever of 2020, you know, of 2011. And the feel of everybody in that stadium that will line up with everybody that's going to sit in that stadium has someone they lost in 9/11. And so the energy of that, the energy of those players and they brought in the Andruzzi brothers to talk to the team and take them through. And you know, the Andruzzi brothers, obviously Joe was a player for the Patriots, but the brothers are all firemen. And so they rushed in to the towers to save lives. They were in there when those things were burning and collapsing. And so just kind of a sense, because a lot of the guys, you know, 24, you know, they were 4 or 5 years old when that happened, just to give them a sense of what those fans are going to be going through and what the connection is. So from that standpoint, the Broncos are walking into a bit of a energy buzzsaw, which, you know, you're going to have to deal with, especially coming off of last year when you didn't have any fans in the stands. Now, you know, all that is going on here in New York for 9/11. So, that'll be a really interesting challenge, how they handle the noise, the atmosphere, the energy, that is going to be, I mean, it's going to be palpable.
All right, Mark, just real quick, what's your prediction?
I think the Broncos, I think that it'll be close at first, but I think the Broncos get a 10-12 point victory.
Oh!
Okay.
Okay. We'll take that in. And then again, real quick, do you have a phrase that pays that we can watch for on the broadcast?
I'm going to have to at some point get in, he didn't clear leather.
Oh, wow. I got to think about that one for a second, but okay.
He didn't clear leather.
There's a lot of options there.
Yeah. He didn't clear leather. So that is the phrase that pays.
All right. And on a serious note, although we do joke around, but on a serious note, you guys in the broadcast actually do have a pretty heavy responsibility broadcasting a game from New York on the 20th anniversary of 9/11. And I'm sure there's a lot of work behind the scenes that's going into that on your broadcast. So I have no doubt you guys will do a spectacular job with it. And it does carry a pretty heavy responsibility. So I just want to wish you the best. I know you'll do a great job with it. And have a great broadcast.
No doubt.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate you both. And, you know, even though D-Mac and I fight a little bit, Tyler, I love the little guy.
I appreciate it. Thank you for making a size.
I got hair on my chest, Mark. I got plenty. Right?
One more real quick one. How are you going to say Albert O's last name?
I'm going to say it just like when you asked him. Okuwebanom.
You got him panicked.
No, it sounds good. Yeah. All right, Mark. Have a great broadcast.
All right, guys. Take care.
Bye. All right. And he had a sneaking little guy, didn't he?
Yeah, he did.
Sneak that in there.
It's too easy. It's a freebie.
Akeem Talib with Pat Surtain, Cam Newton with his dad, the latest from Dove Valley today, who's playing and who's not playing, all of it still to come. We kick it off a Football Friday with Football at 4 next.
Hey guys, Tyler Palumbus here to tell you about my new friends at Assignar. Colorado contractors get paid faster and save big time money with Assignar managing their construction operations. From instant crew and equipment scheduling to digital time tracking and forms, contractors using Assignar are averaging $30,000 per year in savings. Collect data from the field to make informed decisions from the office with Assignar platform and mobile app. Go to keepbuilding.com to request your free demonstration of Assignar and see how much your business can save.